Charles Leclerc actually won the 2022 Austrian Grand Prix, despite Ferrari once again doing just about everything they could to bottle another sure victory. There were flares, flames, and misogynists. I'm Matt.
I'm Caitlin.
We're here to talk about race cars. This is the Formula Fun Podcast. Stick around. How's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Good.
Going good. Well.
Going well. Yes. Adverb.
Yeah. Well. Right.
Austrian Grand Prix. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Both Mercedes wrecked in qualifying.
What?
Remember that?
Oh, qualifying. Yeah.
Qualifying. That was still kind of a big deal. Usually mm-hmm. doesn't happen. We were very surprised.
It was weird to see Lewis Hamilton wreck.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah. And then immediately after George Russell.
That's less weird.
George Russell.
To see.
Having a hard time talking tonight. Mm-hmm. You and I both were like, we knew it was gonna, remember we, when,
yeah, we were watching,
it was almost like,
it
we
was
kinda
like
felt
that
it
Malcolm Gladwell, where it's like,
he's into all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Blink.
Something blink. Yeah. Blink.
The chew the dog war.
Yeah, I know.
Something
I mean,
like
I'm
that.
Not,
I don't I like it.
I don't think I like.
I know you don't like
Gladwell first,
Gladwell,
but I don't
like
know why.
you just don't like.
But
stuff
yeah, like people like watching tennis will be like, they're about
yeah,
to
yeah,
like
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, it's the blink moment.
This, yeah, the
that's blink.
Blink. Yeah,
yeah. They're we, like, this we had is a blink be a moment, fault, and then it was.
We both were like,
George's
we knew
car,
he was going to crash.
George's gonna shunt. And
yeah,
then it did. That's true. We had mm-hmm. a blink moment, or something like that. So yeah, they were saying that maybe they went for like an aggressive setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lando was like, "Meh, it was the wind." I trust
it
Lando.
Windy? Yeah,
it was very windy. It's very windy in
well,
Austria. It also rained the night before.
Okay,
which matters actually.
Sure, of course.
Because when cars drive around on racetracks, the rubber from their tires actually sticks to the track.
Mm-hmm.
They call it laying down rubber.
Yes,
laying the rubber down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing if you're a race car driver, because it's better to drive rubber to rubber than it is to drive rubber to road,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's
the,
like Velcro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the more rubber that's laid down, the stickier the track is.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of rubber, good. No rubber, bad.
Right.
And so when the rain comes, washes all the rubber away, it's what they call a green track. You heard that before?
No.
You ever heard the term green track?
Have not.
Well, now you have. And so there was a green track for the race.
For the quali.
Yeah, for, well, yeah, I forget what day everything happened because it was a sprint race weekend. So it was like
uh-huh.
quali was
it
on
was
Friday.
I always think quali
sprint
on Friday.
Was on Saturday, but
like,
it
Friday,
was a qualifying.
Quali
it wasn't a race. It was, yeah.
And like every time I has to be like that Saturday.
That's practice. You should just start watching practice with me.
I don't watch free practice. It just, I've got better things to do. I mean, I don't.
She says on her Formula Fun Formula One podcast that she doesn't watch
I
Formula
just,
One. I get it. But
free practice is like, I mean, I might
it's
watch
where they're
it.
Setting
it,
up
I
the
might,
cars.
I might put it on.
And, you know,
yeah.
The thing I like about it is that you just don't, if you're only watching the race and qualifying, if you're only watching the race and qualifying, you're just limited to that exposure to Formula One in your life. And it's like, if you watch free practice, you get 3 more hours per weekend of Formula One.
Right, right,
times
right.
23, which is a lot.
Yeah, it just feels less like consequential.
It is. It is. But that's not really why you're watching it. You're watching it to like
no,
listen
just,
to Martin Brundle and talk
yeah,
about Formula
I do like
One
that, but these
you
days,
learn a lot.
These days I usually can't hear the commentary because we have a baby, and like if something's on the TV, it's like...
And she's always crying.
No, she's not. She's perfect.
Yeah, she is perfect.
She does
you
cry a lot.
You guys should see her.
You would just freak out.
Yeah.
Because she's that cute.
So then there was a sprint qualifying. So there was qualifying.
There was qualifying. And then,
and
the
then there was
day,
what they call sprint qualifying, which is where they race around for a little bit.
Race.
Max won.
Yeah.
Hamilton had to pass both... Haas's.
Mm-hmm. There was a Haas
There was a Haas battle.
Formation.
I was going to play a Haas bumper.
Okay.
To talk about Haas, but now I'm not sure that I actually saved it. So here I'm going to try. And if it's not a Haas bumper, I apologize in real time. Nope, it wasn't.
That's not, I don't like that bumper.
It's, I know, this is not much. A good bumper. But let's just talk about Haas for a second, and then I'll play the Haas bumper in a second. So Haas was driving.
They had a great weekend.
Yeah, they did. Two great weekends in a row, actually.
Yeah, I saw, well, I don't want to get off. I just
go ahead.
I saw a little video.
Okay, now we can talk about Haas.
That's a good little bumper. Yeah, a little country.
That's our Haas bumper.
Yeah, like
Appalachian. Because they're from North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I love North Carolina. It's pretty. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to move there.
Oh, you've heard it here first. Yeah. I heard it here first.
Yeah, surprise.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Where teachers are paid like kings.
Oh, yeah. I think they're like the least paid in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
But we can like have a garden or something.
Right. Verdant.
Yes, it is a very verdant North place.
So Haas.
Haas. Okay, so I saw a video of Mick Schumacher on F1's like Instagram account.
Was this the one where he was just like super happy?
It was cute. He was. They told him. They broke the news that he got driver of the day for the race.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, really? He's like, what, you know? He's like, oh, gee whiz. And he was like, I kind of thought, like, maybe I'd get it at Silverstone, but then I didn't. And, you know, he's like, so I'm glad I got it now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it warmed the cockles.
Yeah, I saw, maybe that was the video I saw, because I saw a video on silent, just like scrolling through my phone. I didn't actually listen to it. You know, I didn't turn the sound on, but it was
no, Mick. I never listened.
I know, of course. It was Mick getting interviewed, and he just looked like the happiest person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his eyes were just like so bright, and his smile was just so huge. And this most genuine smile looked like his face hurt. He was smiling so big, and he was talking like really fast and enthusiastically, and you know, like
it probably was
moving back and forth, left to right, really manically. Like he was so excited. Anyway, so
yeah,
maybe that was that I saw. And it was just like, oh, Mick has obviously just had a great day.
Yeah, I know.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Mick's big day.
Mick's big day. So now everyone's saying like, oh, well, maybe Mick will stay in Formula One.
Right. Not too long ago, they were like, oh, he's going to get kicked out.
Well, kind of the story of his career, to be serious for a second, here's a little actual analysis, is he won Formula 2. He was a Formula 2 champion, which is not nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there was some criticism, or I don't know if criticism is the right word for it, but there was some talk that he only won Formula 2 because he was like Michael Schumacher's son, and he got like all the preferential treatment and like special, even like special, maybe borderline illegal treatment. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know
wow.
the full story.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people say that's not true and that he just won it on merit.
He's got, I mean...
One thing that is true,
they still got to race the race.
Right. And they're driving in spec cars. They're built specification. Mm-hmm. Like they're not prototype cars. They're all the same.
Yeah.
You can set them up differently and whatever. Like the teams still matter, but they're all the same. Anyway, one thing that is true, regardless of that, is that Mick had a pretty poor first season and then improved greatly in his second season, which is when he won the championship. So this is like kind of what we're seeing now.
Okay.
Bad first year, good second year.
Here's hoping.
Better second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
The Haas's are better.
I'm a little torn about it. Yeah, because I want Haas to do really well, but I also want K-Mag to do really well. And like the better Mick does, the kind of like worse it makes K-Mag.
That's how I feel about Ferrari and Carlos Sainz and Chuck Leclerc.
Yeah, but you're not like invested in how well Ferrari do aside from how well. Yeah.
No.
What is that beeping?
The delivery truck is outside.
Oh, that's annoying. Okay, but anyway, it'll go away soon. So...
Haas.
Haas. That's pretty much all I have to say about Haas. Do you think they should have driven in formation during the sprint race? They would have got one more point.
They did not?
Well, they were driving in formation to the extent that they were one right after the other.
Mm-hmm.
But then K-Mag pulled away out of DRS range from Mick.
He didn't tow Mick.
Which made Mick more easy to overtake by Hamilton.
And Hamilton did overtake
because
him?
And Hamilton overtook Mick for eighth place, and so Mick did not get a point in the sprint. And remember, Mick was on the radio telling K-Mag, he was like, right. Hey, tell K-Mag to slow down so I can have DRS. And then it would pull mm-hmm. Mick down the road a little bit faster, like physically pull him away from Lewis.
Right.
So, K-Mag didn't.
Did K-Mag they tell
was
him?
Like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
I'm running my own race.
Yeah, he's a racer.
Because he's a Viking.
Dude. Yeah, whatever.
It's racist to Vikings, I guess.
Let's not go there.
That was just another story of their weekend, is that there was kind of a little bit of like, ooh, maybe a germ of tension between the drivers, because Mick like asked K-Mag to do something and he didn't, and now
maybe. I mean,
Mick's like driving well enough for there to be like potential tension between like who's
I might have made this analogy before, but maybe on the pod, maybe not. But I don't think so, just because like Mick Schumacher's like the dog at the dog park that like immediately gets on their back and shows their belly and is just like, hey,
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, hey, don't mind me. I don't
K-Mag
think
is the dog at the dog park that's like all white with like blue eyes.
Yeah, that's
and just
like
sits there and like stares. Yeah, doesn't really play.
Right.
And then you're like, come boy, and it just like slowly trots over to you and hops in the back of the car.
And then gets in a race car and drives really fast.
Right. By himself. Okay. So speaking of Ferrari, want to talk about Ferrari now?
Yeah.
We can move on to talk about the actual race. That was kinda worked that time. It's really quiet. I need to get a better bumper for that. So basically Leclerc won.
Yay.
But he almost didn't again.
I can't even.
So prepare yourself.
So glad.
Take another sip of that beer.
I know.
Because Ferrari, like I said in the intro, did almost everything in their power to ruin it again. Sainz's car blew up, and it really did like blow up.
Car,
have you seen the
yeah,
footage of it?
I
it was
did.
Like boom.
It was very flamey. Mm-hmm.
And like poof.
He
like,
said
there
it was
like
hard to get out. Or
yeah.
The marshals didn't
did you
come?
See that too? Because it was rolling backwards.
Yeah, that's
it was,
right.
It was on a hill, and like he couldn't put the brake on in time. So it was on fire, rolling backwards. And he was, because it was the back of his car that was on fire, he was like rolling backwards into the flame.
Yeah.
So the flames
like
were like licking him, as flames do, you know.
That's
they
wild.
Use the verb lick with flames a lot.
Yes.
And there goes the truck, thank goodness. Finally. And yeah, he had to like get out of a moving car.
Yeah.
He criticized the marshals too for being
he
too
did.
Slow. There was a
I
lot
heard.
Of like marshal hate online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were like, there was even a video someone posted of a marshal running towards the scene with a fire extinguisher, putting the fire extinguisher on the ground and then running the opposite direction. Like it looked like he basically,
why?
Well, okay. So actually I know this whole story now because of being online way too much, but it looked really bad because it looked like comical. It looked like the guy was running towards the fire and was like, I don't know. And like put the fire extinguisher down and got scared and ran away.
Oh,
that's what it looked like. And everyone thought that, you know, and they were like, Carlos Sainz has every reason to be upset. Look how horribly these marshals treated him and blah, 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 blah. Well, a marshal from the actual event like weighed in and was like, guys, you don't, shockingly, the pundits on the internet, the keyboard warriors didn't know what they were talking about.
Surprise, surprise.
Right. And they were like, the person in the videos, one of the most experienced marshals on the track. And he got a radio call to go get a truck. And he was doing exactly what he was asked to do. He brought a fire extinguisher to a certain place for another person and then went and got a truck and then pulled. He was the guy driving the truck that pulled up in a few seconds. You know, like he was very responsive and doing exactly what he was supposed to do. Of course. But Carlos was still saying they took too long.
Yeah.
The marshals were
maybe
then,
Carlos is just a little bit of a Karen.
Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, he's just like, excuse me, snap, snap.
Yeah.
Like service.
I mean, he is a Formula One driver.
Yeah, so prima donna.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, obviously, it was probably incredibly scary to be in a moving car that's on fire and exploding. And
right.
You're kind of like stuck. So, yeah. But to be like, I don't know, they interviewed him afterwards, like, well, the marshals, where were the marshals?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, they're probably somewhere.
Yeah, and they showed up and everyone's fine.
It's yeah. Fine. Aren't they volunteers?
Yeah, they don't get paid. I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows? But anyway, so that was one thing that went wrong with Ferrari's weekend.
Yeah, when Carlos's car exploded.
Carlos's car exploded. And
I was
then
so worried.
Also, did you hear what was
the
wrong
throttle.
With Le- Yeah, Leclerc's throttle was stuck.
Yeah.
And so he was driving around, not able to fully take his foot off the... Well, he could physically remove his foot from the throttle, but his throttle was still applied.
So you're just like revving 30%. Up.
Yeah, 30% rev.
That is wild.
And
that
so
is insane.
What he said he had to do was he had to like lift and coast into the... Instead of driving as aggressively as he could into the corners, he had to lift into the corner to see how much of his throttle was left before he had to apply the brake so that he could like adjust accordingly.
That is,
which is super skillful.
Incredibly impressive.
It is super impressive. It's like,
and you have Max Verstappen in your rearview mirror.
Yep, like, yep, yep, yep. He's just like, let me just drive this shed of a car.
Fast shed,
but still, he's like, guys, yeah. Anyway, so doesn't look good for Ferrari, even though they won. There's like I want to say a silver lining, but the opposite of a silver lining. Like, what's the opposite of a silver lining? A shadow, a dark shadow.
Right.
There's like a specter haunting Ferrari's otherwise positive weekend.
Spooky.
Because it's like, yay, we won, but we like really almost didn't win, and it was almost another huge embarrassment for us. And because Carlos's engine exploded, now they're just like, well, we know our engines are not as reliable as we thought, so there's a good chance Leclerc's engine is not as reliable as it. As
yeah, he's
they
already
think.
Taken a penalty.
He's already taken one penalty. So the reaction naturally is either take another penalty sooner than they want to prevent another failure, or turn the engine down to prevent another failure, which are neither very good options. So it doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, they've already, I mean, yeah.
I mean, they're not going to win the championship. Sorry. Also, they were on plan E. Like, remember Jolyon joking? He was like, why are they always on plan D? This weekend, they were on plan E.
How do you even remember all those plans? Like, don't the drivers have to, like, just know what the plan is?
Yeah.
I'm pretty skillful stuff, Formula One driving.
I mean, I believe Sebastian could go to like plan Z.
Oh yeah. Sebastian has like a
eidetic memory.
Yeah. I was going to say magnetic and I was like,
that's not the word. My computer's about to die. If it does, I'll just have to go through this without the computer. That's fine.
Yeah.
What
else? Can I just talk about my feelings?
Talk about your feelings. That's what a podcast is for.
yeah. Right. I mean, just, well, I don't know. I haven't really gathered my thoughts now. I guess I have feelings about Ferrari, and it was just really nice to see. I guess I'm trying to make it a little positive, where it was nice to see Charles win. I would have not been able to handle it if he had not. Or if Carlos had won and not Charles, which I
Carlos
knew
Ange.
Could have happened with strategy too. That was like a possibility.
Right.
If his car hadn't exploded, and that would have been really, really tough too. So I'm just at least glad it kind of worked out the way it did.
Yep.
Not that it really means much for the championship since Max was just right behind him. So the
I points
mean, it's
aren't
not really
over.
Different.
It's not totally over.
No,
we're only halfway through,
I'm
which is
still,
crazy. It could, they could, Leclerc could still win. I mean, I'm joking a little bit when I say they're not going to win. I mean, mostly it's just because it's a really, really good team with a fast car and a fast driver versus a not good team.
Yeah. Well,
with an unreliable car and a fast driver. It's like, who are you going to take in that situation? You know, it's like two poker hands and one's just stronger than the other.
Right.
Boom.
And I do kind of like
poker
how the
analogy.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Full
but.
House beats up. Pair.
Texas Hold'em.
Annie up.
Anyway, I also am kind of glad, like, the waters aren't as muddied in Ferrari as far as, like, who should take precedence.
I was just about to say that because, like, that's another way it works out.
Left in the dust a little bit because he DNF'd.
Carlos change.
I mean, again, it still could change, like, just one DNF away from them being...
Back, both back. Left in the dust.
Uh-huh, but... Yeah. But I do that. I was kind of secretly enjoyed that.
But you know, on the same hand, or on the other hand, or whatever the saying is, definitely not on the same hand. That's not a saying.
We're just saying all kinds of
metaphors and analogies tonight.
Yeah.
Quirks and features. All kinds of quirks and features. That's a Doug DeMuro shout out.
Oh yeah, the car guy.
The car guy. Free advertisement on the Formula Phone Pod.
Yeah, Doug, come on the show.
Yeah, for sure. You can talk about Formula One cars. Probably tell us way more than we know. Anyway, so on the other hand, even though it does make clear that Leclerc is the number one driver and Carlos Sainz is the number two driver, Carlos?
Yes, okay.
It makes that clear. But Mattia Binotto is ultimately the person in charge of all of that. And I don't trust him to, like, delicately or diplomatically handle that situation. He's so awkward. He's just like,
Has like a brain full of,
I don't know what, but like
rags,
noodles. He's Italian. Come on. You missed that one. The door was wide open for that.
Soggy that's noodles. Too,
on the nose. Low-hanging
fruit.
Yeah. But yeah, Mattia, I thought it was so funny because did you see how after Silverstone there was all that controversy about how, like, nobody celebrated Carlos Sainz's victory? Oh,
yeah, you told me about that. Mm-hmm.
I saw the report in Autosport was, like, Mattia Binotto was, like, I don't have a Mattia Binotto impression. I never heard him talk.
I just see him putting his head in his hands.
I
know.
I just see him shaking his head and, like, not pounding the table. That's a Toto move.
He puts his head in his hands.
Yeah, he just holds his head in his hands like a disappointed father or something. Or, like, he has the ennui all the time.
Yeah.
He literally did at one point have his hands and his head in his hands this week.
Like, he's just like, why do I have this job? What even is my life?
I don't even want this job. I was happy being the technical director. That's what it used to be. Anyway, so Mattia was like, they say there's a dissent in the team, but don't worry, I check, and there's a knot.
Okay.
I know. Okay. Oh, okay. So the person in charge of the
popped his head and is like, hey guys,
we all get along, right? For the press. Yes. Okay. Everything are fine. Don't worry. I check. It's fine. Seriously. I mean, no joke. Like, that was the report, was that Mattia Binotto says he checked with the team and everything's fine.
Okay.
I know.
Love it.
And then, like, right after that, he went and had that awkward dinner with Charles. I'm sure you saw.
What? No.
Yeah.
I did not see. It was after. I already hate it.
I know. And they're like, oh, shoot, cameras. Oh, better shake each other's hands. And then, like, it was really awkward. Really awkward. Like, visibly awkward. So I just don't trust him to really, like, have that conversation with Carlos Sainz.
No.
And be like, oh, listen to Carlos. We need you to pull over to the side. When Charles come from behind, you pull over.
Yeah, but I do think it matters because it looks different. Like, if Carlos is has a fighting chance and is like, hey, I'm not going to do that, then, like, we're all like, okay, yeah, that's sane and fine and okay. Right. But if he's, like, way behind Charles in the points and he's like, no, I'm not going to do this, like, I don't know, that looks bad.
Then it would be him. Inappropriate.
Yeah, it would be inappropriate. And he doesn't seem the kind of person villain. Yeah, he's exactly. A good guy.
He knows his place in a, not in a bad way. I don't mean he's it that way. I mean, just, he knows, he would know what you just said. He would understand what you just explained.
Anyway,
so enough about Ferrari.
Yeah.
Verstappen took the lead from the start. Leclerc chased him down. They were on different strategies, basically. Verstappen pitted really early in the race to go for the undercut because Leclerc overtook him. Early. So basically, Leclerc overtook him from second, got the lead, and then Verstappen tried to undercut him. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go over the difference between an undercut and an overcut? I feel like that's important to understand, just real quick.
If you can do it quickly.
I have it in the notes here, so I might as well just go through it. So it's pretty much boils down to this, that an undercut is where you pit before the driver ahead of you and then go really fast when you come out. And then when they pit, you've made up the time, mm-hmm. right? And so you go from behind them to in front of them. Okay.
Right.
An overcut is where you're behind the person, but in both scenarios, you start from behind the person, right? You're in second. Mm-hmm. An overcut, it's important to understand, Caitlin. She's like staring at the walls right now. This is important to understand because they talk about this all the time. These are like the two primary strategies in Formula One.
I thought undercut you were explaining for the
for everyone. The people. I mean, so you can explain that. Go ahead.
And then the overcut is like an undercut, but you pit after the person. You go super fast before you pit, and then you pit, and then you come out ahead.
I'm not sure what you just said. An overcut is where the person in front pits and you go long.
Oh, yeah.
You go over them, you go over the top of them.
So you go fast before you pit.
Well, in both cases, you want to go fast on your in lap and fast on your out lap.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, the whole race, you want to go fast.
Yeah, to some extent, but some laps you're managing your tires.
Sure.
Think about this. I heard once someone say like a pit stop is, think about it this way. I heard once it's really like three laps because it's your in lap, mm-hmm. your pit stop mm-hmm. and your out lap, right? It's really like
a 20 second.
Right. So you might be managing, and then they're like, okay, we're going to pit. And then you're like, give it the beans mm-hmm. real fast on your in lap to minimize the time wasted. Pit. Real fast in your out lap to minimize the time wasted.
You gotta warm up your tires,
too. And warm up your tires. Very smart. And then you start managing again. So anyway, undercut, you pit, let the guy drive away, make up the time. When he pits, you've made up the time and he comes out behind you. Mm-hmm. An overcut is where the guy in front of you pits first and then you stay out and make up the time that way. Mm-hmm. And then when you pit, eventually you come out ahead of him. So Verstappen did the first of those things. He tried to undercut, but his tires never were as good as Ferrari's mm-hmm. over the course of the race. And so each time they traded track position, Leclerc was able to chase him back down and pass him again,
woo-hoo!
Basically. So it was actually kind of exciting that Leclerc ultimately ended up passing Verstappen three times in one mm-hmm. race. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's something.
I mean, that alone kept me watching, except I guess I did leave. And
well, we were packing up from the river during the race. You were.
Well, I left and swam in the river for that too. 30 minutes.
I forgot about that. Let's see. What else? There were 43 track limit warnings or penalties. How do you feel about that? Total. Is that good, bad, ridiculous?
Who all got penalties?
Well, there were like only five that resulted in penalties.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of warnings.
But 43 total like warnings, black and white flags, penalties, combination of all of those things.
I don't know. I mean, is it the kind of track where it's easy to go off track?
I don't know that it's any easier than any other track.
So the stewards are just like track limit happy?
I guess, but they're kind of supposed to be, isn't that
right?
Like,
that's too many. I mean, right. If they're going over, they're going over.
Exactly. Right. It's just in the context of all the controversy about like penalties not being called and mm-hmm. sometimes being called and then other times not being called and sometimes being called and having different stewards at every race and everything. It just makes it all the more topical.
Right.
You know, because like last weekend there was a bunch of stuff that probably should have been penalties that wasn't. And this weekend there's 43 penalties. So anyway, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that happened. Next couple of races should be good for Ferrari again. So that's good.
Good.
And good for Mercedes. Mercedes is stronger.
I'm into that. Yeah. Just get another team in the mix. Yep. You know?
Yep.
Third and fourth this race, right?
Something like that. Sounds right. That's pretty much all I got for the race. You got anything else you want to say about the race? What else happened during the race?
Yeah, I don't remember.
The Haases scored double points. We already kind of said that. Double points, yeah, 2 weeks Haases, in a row.
That was interesting. Haas.
Yep. That's about it. Ocon did good.
Oh, did he? I could not.
Ricardo did really bad.
Oh.
Is he going to be in Formula One next year? Declare it now. Wildly speculate. I think yes.
Okay. I mean, I think he will if they'll have him.
Well, yeah, duh.
Okay, like, I don't know.
You mean, in other words, you mean he's not going to leave, like, because he doesn't want to anymore? Oh my gosh, that reminds me about Daniel Ricciardo, something I've been wanting to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a TV show.
We talked about it on the last
pod. I know, but what I have learned since then is that the TV show is in the mode... In the fashion of Entourage.
That's what I said.
Oh, you said that during the podcast?
Remember?
Oh,
I mean, I'm not that I didn't hear. Remember, I was like, I bet it'll be like Entourage.
Oh, really?
Remember?
No, I guess I obviously don't remember because I thought I was hearing that for the first time.
I called it.
Oh, yeah, he literally said that. Pod. He's like, it's going to be like Entourage or Ballers.
That's so funny. That's literally what I said.
I already am sick to my stomach.
With anticipation.
Right.
It's going to be sick.
Yeah. No, I mean, terrible. I mean, that's embarrassing for him. I'm embarrassed
Entourage
for him.
Entourage wasn't even cool when it was cool.
A ton of people love that show.
Yeah, a ton of people that I don't want to have in my life.
Well, you just alienated a ton of people from our podcast. Way to go.
Just kidding. If you listen to the pod, you're cool.
But my point is, I mean, Ricardo's like not a very popular driver anymore. He's like not doing very well. And it's like, follow me around and make a TV show about how cool I am and my life as a sexy, famous, rich Formula One star who's like washed up. And like, maybe they'll take that angle. Maybe it'll be like Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down, yes.
I barely ever even heard about Formula One before. Yep. So I had some other notes to talk about, some news items, but my computer just died.
Okay.
But we should still talk about the news a little bit. Jos Verstappen said that Max was going to be a truck driver or a bus driver when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Isn't that messed up?
That's poor
more
Max.
And more news like this comes out all the time where Max is like, here's another creative and insane way that my dad would psychologically abuse me.
Right, but he doesn't like even realize like it's abusive, you know? He's just
because
like,
Max, it turned him into stone.
Right, but I know that's not good though.
No, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just that's why he's like non-reactive. Like, Max emotions are so far bottled up.
I know, they're just like it's petrified like, yeah, right, he doesn't him. Realize that, I mean, his dad's still like he's in the paddock like every race.
It's really
like,
bad.
He needs to go to therapy.
Right, it's really bad. But he should go to therapy after his Formula One career because it would ruin him as a driver. And he's really, really good.
Maybe so.
I mean, it is a testament to how important your dad's influence is on you as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying as a dad now and realizing and reflecting on.
I mean,
because
it's interesting because it really is probably like a meld of like Max's just natural temperament.
And ability.
Of course.
Yeah.
With like his dad's like style of not even encouragement. I mean, just like shaping him, you know.
Yeah, molding
him. Because like a lot of kids probably wouldn't have reacted well to that, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it probably has damaged Max. And
I wonder
what
Max is going to be like to his kids the same way, I guess.
I mean, it's hard not to be
the same to your kids.
The same, I know. Unless you go to therapy.
Good thing I go to extensive therapy.
Yeah, for Max.
Yeah.
He's got to heal that generational trauma.
And it really does, I already said this, but speak to just the impression a father can make. And the comparison I made earlier was to Donald Trump.
Ugh,
remember?
Yeah.
I know, but like about, the reason Donald Trump is the way he is because his dad doesn't love him.
Who could?
And he's just taking it out on the world.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a Donald Trump podcast. We should stop talking about that immediately. But that's my point. It's like Donald Trump and Max are the same. They have the same thing going on, just in different ways.
Well, yeah, it just boils down
they're the
to
different manifestations of the same issue.
They just want their dad to be proud of them and say, "I'm proud of you, son, and I love you."
And in Donald Trump's and Max's, it's that he just drives cars really, really fast and doesn't care about anything else. Yeah, just that's it. And they're like, "Max, what do you think about everyone hating you?" And he's like, "It's fine. You know, people have their opinions."
Yeah, I bet like people who are like trying to like throw vitriol like at
he's just like,
Max,
cool, man.
He's just like, "My dad's been doing that since I was a baby."
He's like, "You're not my dad. You can't possibly hurt me."
Yeah, exactly. Like, "My dad hurts me a lot."
Yeah, exactly. That's it right there. They're like the British fans, 200,000 people booing you all at once. And he's like, "Yeah, they're not my fans.
Like,
they're British. You know, they don't like me. That's cool. Whatever. It's a sport. I applaud that. That's great.
No,
he's just ice cold, you know?
He
I mean,
is
I don't,
ice cold, but I don't.
It's a shame that it's because
that.
His dad abused him as
and
a kid.
And I do think, I don't know if he's like that. I mean, it's probably affected who he is as a person in like negative ways, but.
Oh, for sure.
Beyond what we
like
can
relationships
even really speculate.
With other people
yeah, but. Yeah.
In Donald Trump's case, he just cannot tell the truth.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
I'm sure he's a terrible driver.
Oh, yeah. He probably hasn't.
Probably can't
he's
even
a New
drive.
Yorker.
Yeah,
they don't drive.
New Yorkers don't drive. They import their drivers.
Right.
Anyway, so what else was in the news?
Yeah, what else we got?
Volkswagen, remember, was going to join the sport.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a big deal. That. This is like a big deal. So the Volkswagen Gruppe.
Yep.
Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Who together own, or I should say, as a group, own Porsche,
okay,
and Audi.
Yes, they're all the same.
Porsche and Audi are part of.
So basically, like,
sind Teilen der Volkswagen Gruppe. They're part of the Volkswagen group.
Yes. I'm just waiting for what the point is.
Okay, sorry. I just had to get my little German in there. So Porsche is going to join the sport as an engine partner to Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
This is already like
we
a not very well
this.
Kept secret. I know.
Okay.
And Audi mm-hmm. is going to take over Sauber, who is now called Alfa Romeo. They're still
Saudi.
Yeah. And that was all going to be announced this weekend. It was like that big of a like a legit thing.
Was going to be?
Yeah, they were all planning to announce in Austria because they're German and it was like a thing, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
But,
I mean, obviously Austria is not Germany, but they delayed because apparently like the current owners are dilly-dallying about codifying the engine rules, blah, 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 blah. There's like some talk that it's like, you know how, long story short, the theme is that the people who are currently in Formula One make it hard for people to join Formula One.
Mm, good.
Is that good?
No, I was like sarcastic.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, it's
like,
not good.
Oh, good.
Like Andretti Motorsport is trying to join and they're just like, please let us join. They're like
well,
doing
they
everything in our power
to. Someone to like join and then immediately have to like drop out because they're like
Well, that does happen traditionally. That happens, like teams join and fail and join and fail, but who cares? Like join, compete.
They're like, then we gotta like onboard everyone, make new stickers for the paddocks.
Yeah, stickers.
I don't know who's in charge of the stickers, but
Ross Brawn.
He's like getting them all straight.
He'd be good at that. He just would be good at anything he did. Probably. He's very capable.
He's really good at stickers.
He's a very capable person. Ross Brawn.
Ross Brawn. What a name. I mean, that's a capable name.
Ross Brawn. Strong name.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Want to go through the standings real quick?
Sure.
Talk about something while I pull them up because my...
Okay. The Austrian GP was Toto's home race because he's Austrian.
Oh, that's right. He is. Do your Toto impression.
Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel.
I can't do voices.
Just think of the Terminator. He sounds kind of like the Terminator.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Do you, yeah, you've never, I'm trying to think of a voice you haven't done yet. You haven't done a Charles. He's kind of
Charles
hard.
Just sounds kind of like a French guy.
Yeah.
It's true. I'd have to listen to it again. I don't know. It would be not very good, probably. Mm-hmm. Standings. Here we go. Okay, so Max Verstappen.
Max.
Has 208 points. Charles Leclerc has 170 points. So a little bit closer.
Wait, I wasn't listening.
208. That happens every single week. 208 points. Max to 170 points.
The point of the podcast.
170 points to Charles.
So 30, 40, 38
points.
Okay.
Checo Perez is in third, 151.
What did Checo do this race?
He got hurt and then fell to the back and then caught back up and ended up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Sainz is in fourth place with 133 points.
Mm.
Okay. Then George, then Lewis, 109 points.
Hmm.
For George and then Lewis. George is doing better than Lewis, no doubt about it. Then Lando, my boy Lando, with only 64.
Big drop off.
Fellow sim racer Lando.
Y'all have so much in common.
I know. We're basically best friends. And then Esteban Ocon, 52 points. And then Valtteri Bottas, 46 points. And then Fernando Alonso, who rolls his R's very well. And then K-Mag, and so on and so forth. Danny Rick, Pierre, Seb, Mick, Yuki, Joe, Albin, Lance, and then bringing up the rear with 0 points.
Latif.
Nicholas Latifi.
I thought he got points.
It says
he
has.
In that one race.
Huh, well.
I don't know.
Motorsport.com's wrong then.
No.
So, Red Bull Racing is leading the Drivers' Championship with 359 points. Ferrari, Scuderia Ferrari, is second with 303, and then Mercedes, 237. I saw, interestingly, that Mercedes has scored more points than Ferrari in the past 5 races.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing pretty good.
I believe that, because they've both been up there, and none of their cars have exploded.
Right, until... Well, I mean, they didn't explode this week, but they wrecked in qualifying. But anyway, we talked about that already.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren and Alpine are tied for fourth place. Mm-hmm. I predict Alpine overtakes McLaren because McLaren has already said that they are not going to upgrade their car anymore because they're just like, we're over it. It's really bad. We're not even going to spend any more money on this year's car. We're just moving on.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but they are. And Alpine is continuing to update their car, and they're doing really well.
And yeah, I mean, the sum total of their drivers, right, is higher.
Yeah. Then Alfa Romeo, then Haas is in seventh.
Hey.
Oh, my computer died, so I can't do my bing, 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 vocal bumper.
Yes. Go Haas.
Go Haas.
Seventh out of 10.
Yep. Hey, that's
do you even get
a lot of
money.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay. They all get money?
I mean, they all get money, but it's a lot more money
the
to get seventh than it is
team
to get 10th.
Gets money?
Yeah. A little bit. You're not like, you
it's
got 10th,
like
you get
$0. I don't know. It's like what? Like Formula One just like paying
like
them to
bucks.
Like participate?
Yeah, they get a share of the prize money.
Where does the prize money come from?
Entry fees, I want to say partially, but you know, like, I don't know. Profit?
Okay.
They make money?
Profit.
I don't know. I don't know about the economics of Formula One. I should. That'd be an interesting pod.
It would. Well, yeah.
Maybe.
It'd be a pod.
It'd be a pod. Speaking of pods, that's about all I got. Do you have anything to close with before we head out?
You can follow us on the Twitters.
And?
Instagrizzle.
At?
Formula Fun Pod.
That's right. And you can't buy our merch because we don't have any.
We don't have any, but...
But someday we will.
If you want some, let us know. Leave us a 5-star review.
Yep, and rate us
well,
and all that stuff. Well, that you kind of covered both of those things by saying leave us a 5-star review.
Yes, leave us a review that is 5 stars.
Leave us a review and give us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
Whatever, however you say those things.
If you feel...
or whatever.
So moved. Do you.
Okay, cool. So this has been the Formula Phone Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you after the French Grand Prix. At what's the circuit called? I can't remember. Like it's in Le Castellet. Yeah.
That's the airport.
Right, probably so. All right, over and out. Talk to you later.
Bye.